get stirred up about it. I thought, I just can't get involved in this. I'm just not motivated. But as things have progressed over the past 11 years to the point where we are now, and with as much anticipation about 2012 as some people have, and about some other things that are going on, which I will share here in a minute. Title of my message this morning, I guess if I was going to call anything else, it'd be On Shaky Ground. On Shaky Ground. And I'm not crying wolf this morning. It's not my intentions to cry wolf. And I'm not trying to cry the sky is falling. So I'm not crying wolf and I'm not crying the sky is falling. But what I am is doing this. I am telling you that it's time that we watch. Because we will be facing things we've never seen or experienced. Now exactly when? I don't know. But sometimes we just get too complacent in what we're doing. How many thousands of people today are dead and gone, and 2 days ago they didn't expect anything out of the ordinary? There are things that are happening in this world, and I'm just going to share some scriptures with you. But the whole point of my message this morning is not necessarily to teach you any biblical truth, but to stir up in you a vision that, you know, it's not likely to happen. But what if you looked up all of a sudden and they're racing across the plain, the field, the orchard, whatever term you want to use, was a 30, 40 foot high wave of water traveling 50, 60 miles an hour when it gets to the land, traveling 500 miles an hour when it's out in the ocean. And you got nowhere to go. It's pretty much the end. What will be the condition in the end? Let's read some scriptures. First, I want to start out in Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. Now this is the word of the Lord to the people through the prophet Haggai. Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. And be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. All the people of the land, says the Lord, and work. Now I want to say that I believe that is applied to us, that and work doesn't mean get you a job and go to work. We're already doing that. I believe what he's saying is be about the business of the kingdom. Be about the business of sharing the gospel. Be about the business of telling people that there's a day of retribution coming. There's a day of judgment coming. There is a time of testing and tribulation and trial that is coming. And you're going to have to face it somewhere down the road. And I'll tell you what, if you lived in Libya, you might think hell on earth had already come. Just because we're isolated from some stuff that's going on right now. I'll tell you what, and I don't mean this to sound disrespectful, but I saw some of those pictures that they were showing that came out of Japan and the Tokyo area and all some of that devastation from that tsunami. And the thought ran through my mind, like I said, I don't want to sound irreverent, but the thought ran through my mind, my Lord, it looks like Godzilla did go through. You remember all those old Godzilla movies where he always tore up Tokyo? And I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. God gave you a word when you came out of sin, when you came into the kingdom of God. He covenanted with you. And at that point, He said, you are mine and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Now, what are you going to do if you were in a place where some of those people over there in Japan are right now? What are you going to do if you don't have anything to depend on but yourself and the government? And you can't see your way of getting out of it. You're going to give up. And you know, it's the same way. You don't have to be in the midst of an earthquake. You can be in a financial situation. You can lose your job. You can have a house fire that forces you to move out of the house. There can be so many things that are beyond our control. And we have to deal with them. And what are we going to do with them if we allow fear to overcome us? For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while. Once more, in a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. See, the thing that caused that tsunami is because the sea was shaken. And I will shake all nations. And I will shake all nations. And they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. I'm going to shake all the nations, the ones that have any sense. And I'm paraphrasing that. The ones that are watching, the ones that are teachable, the ones that are willing to receive instruction and direction, they are going to come to the desire of all nations. You know, that's an interesting thing. Because you say, well, all nations don't desire God. Yes, they do. They just don't know who He is. They just don't know what it is they desire. Do you think that most, maybe there's a few that are psychotic, but even the worst terrorists, if things would go the way they wanted them to go, they would rather live in peace than be killing people and being at risk of being killed themselves. But their desire to have it their way forces them or encourages them to use the violence. But I don't think there's anybody that wouldn't like it being peaceful, wouldn't like the situation being calm. What is offered through serving Jesus Christ? There's a lot of people that want it, they just don't want to go through Jesus to get it. He says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. And you say, well, now you're reading out of Haggai, and that's in the Old Testament. Well, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to begin reading with verse 25. Hebrews 12, 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. In other words, when he spoke through Moses on earth and you didn't follow his voice, you took the repercussions. He said, if that happened when he was speaking through an earthly voice, do you remember how Hebrews starts? The very first of the book of Hebrews, God, who in sundry times and places spoke to us through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through His Son. In other words, if God took it serious when Moses talked, how much more serious is He taking it now that we've heard it through the mouth and the voice and the Spirit of Jesus Christ? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now He has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now notice what He says here, those things that are being shaken are the things which are made. All of the material thing, all of the physical things, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So what are the things which cannot be shaken? Evidently the things which cannot be shaken are those things which were not made. So we're talking about things that are specifically associated with the kingdom of God. Because it says so in verse 28, look. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Now I tell you what, anything in the kingdom that is associated with this plane can be shaken. But that which is associated with the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Now you may live in the kingdom of God and you may have a big bank account. But let me tell you this, your bank account is not part of the kingdom of God. It's an amenity that God allows you to have while you are part of the kingdom of God. Our health is the same way. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And even though we are citizens of the kingdom of God, flesh and blood that we live in still keeps us a little bit disassociated, and that's why we're still susceptible to disease and pain and injury. It's still a part that can be shaken. Our emotions, even though our hearts and our minds may be renewed by the Word of God, there's still something in our emotional makeup that makes that emotional makeup attachable to this world that's shakable and not associated directly with the unshakable kingdom of God. Because the temptation for all of our emotions comes from outside the kingdom. You know why in a lot of the movies I think that they portray Jesus so solemn and stern? You ever notice it's almost like He's emotionless? And I think it's their attempt to distinguish between a person that is absolutely unswayed by anything that goes on around them. They're the kind of the guy, you know, in the Western movies, the outlaw shoots the dirt up around his feet and he doesn't even dance. That kind of thing. I'm not so sure that Jesus' human part was all that withdrawn and stayed, but I think that's the reason why they do it. But anyway, we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're receiving the kingdom. It cannot be shaken. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. That we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, it doesn't mean that that's the way you get into your relationship with Him. I was not my father's son because I served Him and was obedient to Him with reverence and godly fear. I was my father's son because I was born into the family. And if I'd have been a jerk from the time I was born, I'd have still been his son. But any relationship with the Father and love with the Father and camaraderie with the Father and fellowship and all of that had to be determined by the way I treated Him and the way I respected or disrespected Him. Same way with their relationship with God. You may be a child of God, but you may be the one that's always in the doghouse. Depending on whether you're serving Him acceptably and with reverence and godly fear. And then when the time comes and you need help, you know, if you're not around if you're not around Daddy and trouble comes, it's hard to holler for Daddy for help. And we need to understand that with regard to God. So what we're talking about here is things being shaken. Now let me read a couple other scriptures and then I want to share some information with you. And try to scare the hell out of you this morning. I hope you understand that the way I meant it. And like our song, The Devil's in the Phone Booth, that expression, what in hell do you want? Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came, and testing Him, asked that He would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. You know why we can't discern the signs of the times? Because we're not paying enough attention to them. I mean, if you didn't know something about sailing and you didn't know something about the weather situations, that right there wouldn't make any sense to you. You'd read that and say, well, I didn't know that. Why? Because you never bothered to find it out. A lot of the reason that we're in the shape that we're in as individuals, as children of God, as citizens of this planet or whatever, is because we have never taken the time to find out certain things. That's why the prophet said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because they've rejected knowledge. So he said, you need to be able to discern the signs of the times. Now I tell you what, I've done a lot of traveling, and I'm pretty good at traveling. I'm pretty oriented directionally. I don't get lost easily. I didn't say I don't get lost, but I don't get lost easily. And if I get lost, I'm going to find my trail. I don't have to ask anybody. But what I'm saying is this. You know, there's some people that if you got to give them directions to somewhere, you got to start at their house and you got to tell them all the way to where it is they're going. I mean, you got to tell them it all. And you know, if I'm going to see somebody in Chicago and they live at a certain place in Chicago, if they give me their address, I can find it. And even if they have to tell me, well, we don't have any, you got to go here. I say, okay, I can get from here to there. I got information to get from here to there. There's signs. St. Louis is right down the road here. Not that way, it's that way, but it's down the road here, down 64. But you know, you get outside of Louisville and you see a sign. It says St. Louis. I forget how many miles it is, but it tells you, St. Louis. Sometimes you don't see a sign that says that. The distance, you just see it. You come to an intersection, you see that sign, St. Louis. Knoxville. You know, Chattanooga. And those signs are there. Now when you see the sign, that doesn't necessarily mean you're there. And when you see the signs of the times, it doesn't mean that you're there. But it means that you need to be looking because things are starting to get close. I mean, when we leave here, if you're going to Chicago, you see a whole lot of signs that tell you where something is before you ever see a sign that says Chicago. You'll see Louisville. You'll see Indianapolis. You got to get way down the road. But when you start seeing signs that say Chicago, you're a whole lot closer than you were when you left home. And that's what I'm talking about today, about seeing signs. Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, if you happen to get caught in one of those wars, the end of you may be at hand. That's why it's not just a matter of when are these things going to happen upon the world, but how am I going to handle this? It doesn't make much difference to thousands of people over in Japan whether that earthquake is a sign of further omnibus events to come. They're out of it. "And you will hear of wars, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Do you know, I heard the other day over in Libya, do you know who is who's spearheading all this over there to a great degree, the opposition to Gaddafi? Is the tribal leaders, the kingdoms within Libya. You know what's happening over in Afghanistan? You know why there's so much of that perplexity over there? It's not a this group against this group. It's this group and this group and this group and this group and this other group. And they're all in the mix. Kingdom against kingdom. "And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." All of these are the beginning of sorrows. There was, and it got happened to get called to our attention, there was an item, a video on YouTube. I can't even give you the exact party or names or anything, because I didn't look at that part. But at the beginning of this past week, this video came out on YouTube. It was a researcher and an astrophysicist that had joined together because of certain things that were going on in the atmosphere, because of some comet that's out there someplace that's in proximity to something, and that it's having an effect on our gravitational fields and that sort of thing, and various other technical things that were involved in graphs and charts and displays and all like that. And as a result of all this information that was coming in, they came to a conclusion, and this lady that put this video out, she said this. She said, "I'm at the point where I want to start screaming and cussing at people to listen to me. Because people are not taking this serious. People are not paying attention to what's being said." And there was this diagram. And you remember when, some of you that were here, you remember when Dr. McMurtry came and shared some of the things about creationism, about the flood, and he showed us about the plates in the earth that that if you could take all the water off of the oceans, it'd look like the seams in a baseball, the way it ran through the different places, and some of the things that he was sharing about that. And this person, this video had a picture of Earth, and it had all of these faults, the tectonic plate, where the tectonic plates join. And it looked just, in her picture, it looked like, I thought of that, because it looked like a baseball. And how many of you are familiar with the expression, ring of fire? Now, the ring of fire is a tectonic thing that runs up the coast of the United States, across the top of Alaska, comes back down into Asia. And it's a fault line between the major tectonic plates. So the first of the week, March the 3rd, this video was on there, and she is begging with the people that live on that fault line. She said there are 5 cities on that fault line before the end of the week. One of those 5 cities will experience a major devastating earthquake. The 5 cities were Santiago, Chile, Los Angeles, California, San Francisco, California, Mexico City, and Tokyo, Japan. She said, I'm telling you, one of those cities will have a major earthquake before the end of the week. Now, I don't know anything except that's a sign. Now, I'm not going to try to interpret it. I'm just telling you what it was. It was coincidence or it was prophecy. See, everything that happens, you got to decide what you're going to believe it represents. If I see a sign out here that says Chicago, do I believe that that's Chicago or somebody just stuck a sign up there that happened to be in the direction of Chicago from me? All right. That's the first thing. Listen to this. On March the 3rd, a video in China, made in China, on March the 3rd, it appeared in the news. It showed 2 suns. S-U-N-S. They were videoing a sunset, showed 2 suns. Now, here's the interesting thing. Fraud. Reflection. Refraction. They studied the video. One of the things that they came to the conclusion was that it could not have been in the lens of the camera, because if it had been in the lens of the camera, as the camera moved, there would have been a motion in the 2 suns, and they would have moved in relationship to one another. But the camera moved, but the suns, positions of the suns did not. Now, nothing unusual about that, right? Just 2 suns. They had a scientific explanation for it. There is a scientific explanation, but they don't understand it. They know that it has something to do with the atmosphere, and it's like kind of like a mirage, except that it's not like a mirage. And are you familiar when I say sun devils or sun dogs? Those little things you see in the clouds, it looks like a little bright light out close to the sun on when atmosphere is a certain way. Well, those kind of things, they said, and there's a couple others, I forgot what they call them, but, well, Aurora Borealis and some of those that do that. And they said that they're easy to understand and explain. But there have been reports through history of people seeing two suns because of atmospheric conditions. But they don't know how or why it happens. Now, how many of you believe that there's a lot of things that go on in the world that we know happen, but we don't know how or why? Now, when something is happening and you know it's happening, but you don't know why or how, then I would say that that is a sign of some kind and a sign of something. And I'm not going to try to interpret what it's a sign of. But, and this is what somebody came up with, but it's not true. Or at least they said it's not true. That they debunked it. But any of you familiar with the constellation Orion? Are you familiar with the main star on the right shoulder of the constellation? It's named Betelgeuse. Or Belchegeese, or whichever you want to. But they call it Betelgeuse. Now, you thought that was just that crazy movie that came out a few years ago, didn't you? Well, they're saying that Betelgeuse, Belchegeuse, or whatever you want to pronounce it, is going supernova. And when it goes supernova, it will become so bright that it will be as if it were a second sun to us. There's some people saying it's going to happen in 2012. But the scientists, the majority of scientists say, sure, it's happening. And it's going to happen. But it could be a million years from now. How many of you know the 1,000 years of the Lord is one day and one day is 1,000 years? That's one thing that man is awfully, awfully shaky about. And that's the whole idea of time and space. You realize how long... I was reading another thing, you know, this about space travel. If we don't come up with some kind of hyperspace travel, it's pointless to even try. I think they said it would take 1,000 generations at the speed that we can generate now in a spacecraft. It would take 1,000 generations for us to get out of our galaxy. Can't do much traveling at that kind of speed and that kind of space. But what we're talking about here is things that we can't comprehend as human beings. All we can do is just look. All we can do is just observe. Now, those two things happened on March 3rd. Well, there's any connection? And nobody was saying there was any connection. I'm just reading them. Just reading them on things that happened. So here then Friday morning here, but over there. And they had some foreshocks. You ever heard of foreshocks? Foreshocks are earthquakes that are coming before the earthquake. And they had some foreshocks in the 7 range. We consider 7 a major earthquake. They had foreshocks in the 7 range. And when you're talking about earthquakes, a 0.7, and then you go to a 0.8. The 0.8 indicates that it's 10 times stronger than the 0.7. So every little decimal point is a tremendous amount of increased energy. And so the one Friday morning was 8.9. It is one of the top 5 ever recorded since they've been keeping records. And the top one, 9.2. 8.9, 9.2. If you know much about math, mathematically that's not very much apart. But logarithmically, a 9.2 is a considerable amount more than an 8.9, but still it's getting up in that area. Listen to this. That 8.9 earthquake released an amount of energy double the equivalent of every explosive that went off in World War II, including the two nuclear bombs. Put every explosion in World War II, combine the energy in one blast, and that's how much energy was released. Man thinks he got some kind of control over that. You know, we may have spit on the ground and call and you can call it global warming. But we can't take credit for nothing like that. Give you another example. Something else related to. The amount of energy released. The amount of energy released in that earthquake is equivalent to the entire amount of energy that the entire population of the United States uses in one whole month. They were talking about how much stronger it was than what happened at Christ Church, New Zealand, on down the road.